Hey, this is Jackie Hermes, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode 86, entitled Courage. So today, this is not a weird title for my listeners. This is a title that is basically right down the middle of the fairway. And I want to be frankly honest with you guys. I've got a feature guest today that has exemplified the definition of courage. And so I've got a quote for her, which I think is going to really shock her. I hope she doesn't hang up on us or say, wait a minute, you know, Greg, let's stop this, you know, stop right now. But anyway, here is the quote. And the reason why I chose this quote, there's a significant backstory behind this quote. For many months, I followed her. And I won't say on what platform because we're going to talk about that. But I also reached out to her. And I realized, hey, you know, as a small business person, I'm a small business guy, and I've got three businesses. We're all extremely, extremely busy. So, I mean, I kept being persistent, reaching out. Was never able to connect with her until I switched to another platform. And yet, here we are today. And so what I am going to state today represents the aspect of her courage and who she is, not only as I'm going to leave it right there. So here we go, listeners. So the quote starts out like this. You are a woman of strength, courage, and dignity, one who values herself and fights for what she believes in, a woman who will never give up on her dreams, regardless of how many obstacles stand in her way. If that doesn't make you beautiful, then I don't know what does. And so to our listeners, today I have someone who is highly active on LinkedIn. She sparks discussions about daily life and challenges of growing a bootstrap company. She's mentored students and startups in the Commons and Initiative in the greater Milwaukee area. She's also participated in a nonprofit civil organization. She's dedicated her time and basically effort in helping grow startups in Milwaukee and advising the Golden Angel Investment Group. In addition to some of those accolades, which I was brief on, she is also professionally involved in being a future pilot. Now, think about that, people. A future pilot. I'm getting ready to talk to a future. She could be your future pilot getting ready to fly you to your next destination. But let's get back on track, Greg. So she started her entrepreneurial journey with cookies. A vegan cookie company, which she turned four recipes into a business, design, packaging, finding the kitchen, making the cookies, and eventually outsourcing the production and selling and establishing and distribution to 12 grocery stores around the Wisconsin area. Quite impressive. At the age of 24, she did not picture herself hoisting up a tent at the farm market and handing out a bag of cookies. And she began demoing at the grocery store and then so forth and so on. That led to a full-time job in a marketing department at the company SaaS company. And so from there, that allowed for her to start her own business, Acely, which is basically a Milwaukee-based agent that helps software as a service startups get revenue and grow faster. And she's also the co-founder of the Women's Entrepreneur Week. Now, she's such a huge contributor. These stats that I'm about to say are quite astonishing because, you know, now I see why it was so hard for me to get in contact with her. With her being such a huge contributor on LinkedIn, basically publishing, talking, sharing her experiences, basically back in the mid 20, or excuse me, in 2018, she had grown her audience to over 70,000 followers and earned more than 1 million video views. Quite impressive. Outside of her professional life, she's also a foster parent for 2 beautiful children from foster care in Milwaukee. Her hobbies include, besides getting her pilot's license and exploring downtown Milwaukee, and basically playing a whole lot of Star Wars Troubles with her kids. Now, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And so before we get into our discussion and before I actually let people know what this is all about, I've got another stat that we want to share, because the courage that this featured guest renders is something that is very true and near and dear to me. And the topic we're going to talk about today really kind of centrally lies on the fact that many families question the fact of adoption or fostering. And so many of them face, well, do you adopt in race? Do you adopt out of race? And so statistically today, more than 40% of the adoptions are transracial in nature, in accordance with a recent survey from the Department of Health and Human Service. This is up from 28% in 2004. And so, folks, if you haven't realized kind of where I'm heading with this, this wonderful person that we have on the line today that I'm about to introduce and share her name with you guys is someone that has really stepped outside the bounds, not only in business, but being an empowered woman, growing companies, helping others, but she's also living that inside of her home with the 2 kids that she basically has adopted and fostered in the past. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Miss Jackie Herman. Do you have any opening remarks?
Wow, that was an amazing introduction. I think I should bring you on all my meetings to do intros for me. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Cool. That's I do appreciate that comment, especially coming from you, because like I said, you know, for a long period of time while we didn't know each other, I was following your work, you know, and I saw a lot of things in you that I see in myself. You know, primarily I saw your good days, I saw your bad days on video, I saw when things were a little bit rambunctious behind the scenes and when things were going good. I mean, you know, people say you can read into individuals' eyes and their features as to where they are in life. And some of your videos, I do recall, you know, you were going through some ups and downs, and but you never let people see you sweat, and that exemplifies courage, you know, and extremely, extremely important. So here we are. So are you ready? You ready to cut to the chase?
I am super ready. Let's do this.
All right. So as it stands currently, you are a mom, a business owner there in Milwaukee. And of course, with everything that is going on, you know, literally around the country, you have a minority daughter. And so one of the things that we were going to talk about today is basically some of the myths, because as I read earlier on, there's so many transracial adoptions and fostering that's going on in life right now. What kind of initially started you in the mindset when you were in the foster aspect of this as being able to give back? I mean, what was it that attracted you to being able to put yourself out there and put your family out there and allow for you to say, I want to do this?
Yeah, good question. I never saw myself giving birth to children, which I actually, so I have 2 adopted daughters and a biological son. So it's an interesting mix in our house. And you know, I had 1 child, my son, who is amazing. And I didn't want to have more. I thought, especially in Milwaukee, there is so much there's struggle. There's a lot of segregation. There's a lot of like a vast difference in the incomes within those segregated communities. And there are just so many kids that need care in foster care that are not getting it. There's been, since I started reading about foster care in Milwaukee, there's been a massive shortage in foster parents. And I guess I thought, you know, that's something that I was capable of doing, and I thought it would be a really great way to expand my family. And I have adoption in my family too, so I have a few cousins that are from Russia. So it's something that I saw growing up as well.
Awesome. You know, I've seen the same thing within my family. You know, I have a sister that lives out in Denver, Colorado, and you know, she has the biggest heart of hearts where she's stepped out and basically, you know, allowed for, you know, adoption and fostering to be a part of her overall integrated daily lives. And I've seen her transform, I don't know, I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 12 or maybe 14 kids over the course that I've known her. And you know, sometimes I wonder where she gets the strength from and the courage. But, you know, she's very, very rigid. And, you know, she sets the stage and sets the tone very early on, even though if these kids come from troubled backgrounds or if they've been abused or any type of substance abuse or anything like that, she eventually gets them to a point to where they graduate high school, they go off to college, or they get a job, which is just a significant way, you know, from a humanity standpoint, to be able to kind of do that in a way where it's done unconditionally and with love and with nurturing.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. And, you know, kids ending up in foster care is a generational thing. And when you start meeting the families and understanding how they were raised and what they went through, you can see exactly why this is happening. So someone like your sister intervening and helping the kids and the families themselves is huge.
Yeah. You know, Jackie, there's so many hard lessons, you know, out there when you, like you've stated, you know, first there's the segregation aspect, you know, which is something that we just continue to deal with in this nation. And then of course we have, you know, how people are perceived and how they're prejudged. And I think, you know, one of the things as we talk about, you know, the courage that you have, there's also difficulties that you deal with because, you know, you come from a background in a cultural diverse aspect. And then when you adopt someone from a different cultural or ethnicity, then it becomes pretty much a learning process for you to kind of, you know, ensure that you're instilling everything that makes that child a wholesome citizen, but also you want to have them be exposed to their own heritage. So what are some of the things that you're kind of balancing right now? Because you're in this tranche of trying to figure all that out.
It's not easy to figure out. And I think even just acknowledging the fact, especially with everything that has been happening, I mean, clearly there are things like police brutality that have been happening for a long time without any media or anyone really watching. But last year, you know, we got to see all of the George Floyd protests and everything that happened. And my husband and I are white. My adopted daughter, Olivia, is white. My biological son clearly is white. And so we realized that we were doing her a disservice by not teaching her as much about her heritage as we should be. But she just turned 10, right? So it's not like I don't want to scare her. I don't want her to think she was born at a disadvantage, but I do want to educate her as to what she may experience as she you know, goes into adulthood and goes out into the world. And I want her to have the same knowledge about her heritage that the rest of her Black friends do. Like, I was watching some videos while the protests were going on about the things that Black parents have to teach their children that white mm-hmm. kids just never have to know. And I was like, oh shit, you know, like I think we're kind of missing the boat on, you know, we're not having any of these conversations with her. And it was just, it was a really tough realization that, I mean, we've always been, we're two pretty progressive people. And, you know, we like to think that we're fairly educated, but we don't actually have any idea what it's like to be a Black person growing up in America. And so we're doing the best we can, having conversations with people and just trying to teach her and telling her why, you know, like telling her why we want her to learn more about her heritage. And she is not, I can't say she's like insanely interested right now, but I think she will later appreciate that, you know, that yeah. we did this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, it's definitely hard. And, you know, in a lot of cases, I mean, you know, just in the natural progression of life, you know, people fall in love and, you know, you have mixed race and biracial, you know, type of couples, you know, which obviously they birth biological kids, which, you know, they have half this or half that. I'm a product of that because of the simple fact that my two beautiful daughters, they are mixed three different ways. And, you know, it's always interesting some of the comments that come back from them to me to say, oh, Dad, I was mistaken, you know, as an Asian today. And, oh, Dad, someone was mistaken me as being this or that. And, you know, it's always the grounding aspect that I have to instill in them so that they do understand exactly the importance of who I am and who their mother is. And some of those things that we tried when we were teaching them very earlier on, because we, like you said, you know, being progressive parents, working very hard, trying to provide a certain style of life and quality of life for them. Sometimes you remove them from those harmful situations just based on, like you said, your zip code is different. But the importance that I realized, at least bringing up my kids, was, you know, helping them understand the aspect of, you know, prejudgment. You know, because sometimes those things, they really can affect one's self-esteem. And it happens as early as a kid being in preschool, you know, how someone looks at you and then maybe they look at others, but yet you guys are all playing on the same playground. You guys are kicking the ball around and so forth and so on. But, you know, this guy doesn't like you because of this or that or whatever the case may be. Your hair is curly or straight. It's just weird. But in a lot of cases, you know, kids, even at that young age, have to understand that. The other thing for my wife and I back then, my ex now, of course, we taught them about racism because of the simple fact that, yes, their mom was white and I was, you know, Black or African American. But the simple fact that, you know, if they didn't understand both dynamics, it made it very hard for them to really kind of cope with that because they always looked at Dad as just being Dad, being the hero. There was really no color involved. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, there's always the universal aspect of slavery and things that are really talked about in a lot of different aspects with regards to how people have suffered and the oppression and things that really drive things home as when you consider trying to explain that to a child and helping them understand that, you know, not too many years ago or 400 years ago or however many years it's been, you know, these things kind of occurred. The civil rights, as you brought up, you know, something that if it wasn't for those type of leaders really focusing in on the objectives to drive change, you know, things may not be quite as kosher as they are today. And then the practicality. I think the biggest thing about the practicality is understanding what to do and when to do it in certain situations. Now, my heart goes out to everything that's happened up in your area because I know it was a very tumultuous type of decision with, you know, all of the rioting and the, you know, police, you know, brutality and things that were going on. And I was really shocked to hear that a lot of that came out of Wisconsin and up in that area. Yeah. But you're just really never can have a situation in life, and you're hearing it from me, and I'm sure you've heard it from others, but you can never really have a situation in life where that courage that we're talking about right now, where you have that notion of courage to be free without having the concern of the what if. And in a lot of cases, when you step into the culture of a minority, it is always the what if or the why. It's never, I'm going to be completely comfortable. And so, you know, those are just some notes that I had pulled together, you know, as a part of what I wanted to share with you today as we were talking about this, because it is essentially important to balance all of that. And, you know, I love my kids. I'm sure you love your kids and your daughter and everything. And I commend the courage that you have in what you are going through and trying to learn and all of the things that you're enduring, because it takes strength. And I know you have that strength because I've seen you amass that strength in just accomplishing your business. And like I said, quite impressive.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, as a parent too, we have a responsibility to teach all of our kids about what's mm-hmm. going on, right? Not just our Black child, because she needs to know about her heritage, but our white kids too. You know, and to teach them about everything that's happening. Like, we took them to protests locally, and they were, you know, just to show them, like, this is what people who are trying to make change peacefully look like, and this is what they're doing. And I want them to be part of that, because I want them to understand everything that's happening and just be compassionate and be people who will take action in the future. So God, I feel like I'm in a place where I don't know hardly nearly enough to be a teacher on this subject, but right. I have to teach, right? And I'm trying to pull in, you know, like, different books on the matter, or like, we're watching Blackish together, which is like, you know, it's funny, but it's also educational. And so I'm mm-hmm. trying to just, I don't know, you know, like, we're doing the best we can, but man, it's just, it's a really crazy world out there. And it's a big, I don't think I quite knew the feat that I was taking on when I became a parent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, just in general, you know, when you decide to have kids, I mean, even for me, when you decide to have kids, you know, you're bringing someone into a world that has, in some cases, depending upon how you look at it, there's a lot of uncertainty. And then, you know, you're trying to be a caregiver, you're trying to be a protector, you're trying to be a provider, you're trying to educate, you know, all these different variations of things. And then when you realize that sometimes that stability, just like what we've endured here in our own nation, that stability gets disrupted in a way that it requires you to think differently. Then that's when the flag goes up. You know, like for me, I'm constantly going, okay, so I've got one kid in this state, the other kid in that state, another kid, you know, and I'm going, oh my God, you know, it just becomes mind boggling, because you're still a protector. You're still the parent, you know, and you want the best for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that that I wanted to state to you was the fact that, you know, never underestimate the power. I've seen your power in how you've started businesses and grown them, and how you've helped other businesses and everything. It's the same energy and momentum and passion that you put into all of those successes that you have, that you've put a stake in. And now it's like, just remember the day that you started those businesses, and now you're trying to shift that over to the stake and claim that you've got going on right now on the other side of the fence, which is just absolutely, like you said, it's tough. You know, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, starting and growing businesses is no easy journey, honestly. every day I'm like, oh, even just this morning I was on a call and I was like, this is tough, especially at the point where we're at, where we've gotten to a good size and now we're trying to get even bigger. And there's a lot of things that go into it, like staffing and hiring the right people and mm-hmm. selling. And it's just this kind of delicate dance. It's been really interesting to figure out. I mean, there's a lot of advice, and I have a business coach, I have mentors, but there's no like handbook for this. There's no playbook that says like, okay, here's what you do next. It's just kind of a process of figuring it out. And I've loved sharing that journey with people to just show, you know, like I'm learning right along with you. Most of the messages that I put out are for me just as much as they are for everyone else. And it's no one really knows what they're doing. I have learned, I don't think anyone, no matter how big the business, really has a good idea of what they're doing day to day. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly there, because, you know, ultimately, you know, my other two businesses, one were in the middle of a capital raise. The other business, you know, we've been doing management consultancy for years now, for decades. But then when I decided to start the podcast, it was like, you know, taking on something to introduce something different into the world and more kind of open dialogue. And then I got like, I can't even imagine. I mean, the critics were just eating me up. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, really, guys? I mean, like, come on. And so one of the things that the critics ate me up on was the fact of the name of the podcast, you know, and the way I spelt it. And they're like, well, Greg, you know, that's slang. And I'm thinking to myself like, okay, so why don't you go Google how many Cut to the Chase proper spellings podcasts there are out there. And they were like, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I did it and I can tell you. As a matter of fact, I know all of them. And they were like, well, this is just slang. If you're going to be bringing on business people, you're going to be doing this, so forth and so on. And I said, well, look, this is what I want to do. I've got the courage to see it through. And if I fail, I fail, I'll get back up. But, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, through my courage, perseverance, and everything else, along with all the support that we've had over the last past 11 months, you know, we're 86 episodes.
That's insane. In 11 months. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so go ahead.
I think the name makes you stand apart. And everything is different the first time you hear it, right? People might think it's slang or whatever else, but I think that if you are following your instinct and your intuition, that is always what's put me in the best position, is just like listening to my heart and my gut and not, you know, the chatter of other people.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, that's always been the number one mantra when it comes to, you know, which direction am I going to go? And it's where the passion lies me, you know, or where the passion takes me. Mm-hmm. So I got a couple other kind of, I mean, they're really off the cuff type questions, but, you know, I'm trying to figure out, how do you have the time to pursue your pilot's license?
The funny thing is too, so I started because my dad is a professional pilot, and he was retiring his license to be an instructor. And so I wanted to start with him before he retired his instructor license. And the timing was not anywhere near perfect. And it was just like, all right, well, you know, I guess I'll get started. And I didn't, it's something I've always wanted to do because I grew up with a pilot father, you know, who would like rent little tiny planes and take me up to look at Milwaukee on my birthday and doing just really cool, special things like that, that I want to be able to do for my kids in the future. But yeah, I mean, I had no clue what I was getting myself into. Like, you basically have to go back to college and learn aerodynamics, and it's a lot of science, and science was never totally my jam. So it's been really interesting because I've opened myself up to learning something, because I've been running this business for 8 years. Now I'm learning all the time, but it's nothing that's made me flex in such a different way and use my mind in a different manner. So, man, it's been a really crazy learning experience. It's definitely slowed down with COVID, but I'm really looking forward to picking everything back up, hopefully once it gets a little bit warmer here.
Cool. Excellent. I know quite a few friends on my government side of my management consultancy firm that are pilots, and just getting into a plane with them, half the time I tell them, I'm like, look, guys, bring the Jack and Coke or something strong enough, because in a little small prop plane with someone flying that I already have deemed certifiably crazy, and now I'm giving them, you know, kind of control of a plane with me in it. You know, it's scary, scary endeavor.
Man, I still get nervous every time I go up, and I'm waiting for those nerves to fade a little bit. And I hope that they do, but I also don't, because I think that when you are a little bit nervous, you're alert, and I think the worst thing you can do is kind of go into autopilot, because there's a lot to consider and a lot to watch when you're flying a plane. So right. It's been really exciting so far.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, we definitely wish you all the best in your endeavors of pursuing that pilot's license. And my last question is, which was just rather interesting when my team here pulled that up, that you have such a keen interest in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's something that just honestly developed over the last few years, because I had seen all the movies, but then I started rewatching them with my kids. Mm-hmm. And then we got Star Wars Trouble, which has R2-D2 in the popper, and you can get extra spaces when you roll if he stands up. So it's just, my daughter, Charlie, actually has gotten really into it. The rest of the kids are like, I don't really want to watch Star Wars again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we do like it in this house.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, certainly, Jackie, this has been, an awesome opportunity to connect and collaborate and have, you know, this moment of dialogue with you, and basically like to leave it up to you for some final remarks or takeaways or things that you've learned along the way that you can share with our listeners about courage. And, if someone's looking to get in contact with you, particularly based on your business and marketing and your software as a service providership, how would they go about doing that? I know there's a lot of questions in there, but I'll turn the floor over to you.
Yeah. Okay. Final remarks on courage. I think that a lot of what we talked about today is just realizing you don't know everything and being willing to learn something new, being willing to ask the dumb questions, and being willing to put yourself out there and open yourself up. So that to me is a big driver of courage. And how to get in touch with me, LinkedIn's probably the best place. I spend the most time there. So I'm the Jackie Hermes, Hermes on LinkedIn.
Perfect. 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 All right. So my last request is where can I get some vegan cookies? And then the other request is at some point in time, I've got to talk with you. We have to do something off the podcast and more focus in on the business side, because there's a VC company that we're looking at up there in your area that I might need some help with. But certainly, we've had fun. This has been a great, great discussion. Proud of your success, proud of what you're doing, proud of all the things that you're casting out there into the world. And we wish you all the continued success. We want you to keep striving, to achieve those goals. And basically, one final quote that I have is, always remember, you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, more beautiful than you imagine, love more than you know. All right, to our listeners, thank you very much. It's been episode 86 entitled Courage. And bye-bye, Jackie. Bye-bye to our listeners, and take care, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you, and catch you on the next episode.